Morning. We're on lesson number 16 out of our book. For our visitors, we have been on this journey that we're going through for the life of Christ. So we're in the last week of Christ's life. This morning, just to give you a little talk for those who weren't able to be here this morning, of what we talked a little bit about. We talked about the first incident of the fig tree. When Jesus came to the fig tree, he came to the fig tree looking for signs that it would be producing fruit, signs that there of a possibility that it would. When he saw it afar, it was all leafed up and ready to go. It looked like it was going to have that sign, so the flower or something there. And when he got up there, he realized there was nothing, that it even would show signs that would produce any fruit that year. So he condemned that tree. The lesson we talked about that as a Christian, how that lesson that he was teaching his apostles. A fig tree is only designed for one thing, and that's to produce figs. You know, as Christians, we're only designed for one thing, and that's to develop spiritual fruits. And when people see us as Christians, they should be expecting that spiritual fruit. And Jesus don't want us to be like that fig tree when people walk up to us. Oh, there's a Christian. There's the one that will provide the spiritual fruit that I need, the nourishment that I need. Everything should be there. And come up and see no signs as you get closer. We talked about that last Sunday as an empty Christian. We talked about last Sunday how important worship is to come together and not only be here physically, but spiritually. We can have a whole building full of people, but it still be an empty church because we're not here like we should be. So this morning, what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about Tuesday, the day after he condemned the tree, what's going on. And we're doing a deep study this period of our study. We're going day by day about Christ's life the week prior to his crucifixion, everything that occurred and all the events that happened. So on Tuesday, they're headed back to the temple. And this is what's occurred. I want us to talk about the miracle of him cursing the fig tree. You know, I like Peter, and you'll see here in a minute. Peter is one of those interactive Christians who's always going to speak his mind, always going to say how he feels, always going to test the waters, you know, literally. He's that type of Christian, and I love his spirit as it comes on. In Mark 11, verse 20, it tells us this: as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from its roots. Now Peter, calling to his remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. So Peter remembers the fig tree, and what it looked like and how it was and what Jesus said. He remembers that conversation, and it comes to the next day, and this is most likely what he saw. When it's withered away from the roots, there is nothing living on that fig tree. It's completely barren. He remembers this the day before, and he's just amazed at what his God is able to do, and is wondering why. Doing it. And it's one of those lessons that I want to talk to you about this morning is our relationship with God should not just be a Sunday event. We talked about being here on Sunday. We talked about how important it is and how we need to be here worshiping God, because we're told through scriptures that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. He makes a point to be present when we worship. But we got to understand there's more to that story. Our God provides us throughout the rest of the week. He's already taken care of things that are already going to occur before they even happen. So I don't know what my week holds, but I know my Lord has it. And we need to realize that. And our relationship with God should not be just a Sunday event. It's like I said earlier, we could pack this building full of people, but doesn't mean our church is filled. Not for what it's designed for. Being here physically and spiritually are two different things. But it doesn't stop there. We got to understand, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's a weekly, everyday event. Our God provides us not only on Sunday of being here, but He's with us all the way through our lives. You know, I like how it says in Isaiah, and I was studying this week and reading over this two or three times to remind me, you know, because I'm kind of this person. I'll be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I'm not as young as I used to be. And it's good to know the Lord is still with me. And make you, and I will care for you, and I will carry you along and save you. You know what I've learned as I've gotten older? I have a bigger need for the Lord. I have a bigger need to help me get up out of the bed some morning. Some of us may have a bigger need to be able to get here this morning. You know, I did yard work yesterday, and then when I got up this morning, it's kind of, I didn't move like I did when I was 20. I needed the Lord's help to help me carry me through and rely on Him. And that's what our Lord does for us. Because the lesson they were learning, they continue to read in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus answered Peter, saying unto him, have faith in God. He starts out with that. You see this, what occurred and everything that occurred. Realize what God can do for you, is what he's telling Peter. Have faith in him. Don't be surprised of what you see, that this fig tree is completely withered away. If I say something, it's going to happen. So when we read scriptures, the Lord tells us, like he told us in Isaiah, I'm with you all the way. We need to remember and have faith that God is going to be there for us. So when we kind of walk out the door, we're comfortable here, are we not? Because we're with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We're comfortable here. Seats comfortable, got nice cushions, you're around friends. But sometimes and often when we step out in this world, we're out of our comfort zone. We don't want to talk about Christ as much. It's easy to talk about it here. But we find ourselves kind of backing away when people are downing Christ or downing God or don't want to talk to them. We don't want people to see us, or we want people to see those leaves on our trees. We kind of look like a Christian, but we don't really produce that much of a fruit because we're afraid. Ah, no, he tells us not to be afraid in that way. Have faith in God, because he tells us in verse 23 and we'll read through 24. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. We talked about it before as we've gone down this journey, and we're going to talk about some other things that we talked about before. But if you have faith, I could tell this building here, I need you over there in Petersburg today. And if I have enough faith, which I'm not there yet, I'll be honest with you. If I have enough faith, that will occur. If I realize and trust and understand what God can do for me, there's nothing that I cannot do. So when I face those troubles and trials and tribulations in the world, once I leave here or face those non-believers, for whatever reason they're non-believers, they're still children of God. When I face them, if I have courage and faith in God, He will show me what I need to say and do. Just like Moses will put words in our mouth. We need to have faith that our God does that. But you know, it comes with some stipulations. Did you realize that? Because let's read on. Let's continue on with verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it and it will be yours. We need to understand that. But in verse 25, it tells us, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against one another, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. You gotta have the right heart. Not only do you need to have faith, but you need to have a heart of forgiveness. It's funny how he incorporates this with I can do anything. How are you treating others? Are you struggling with somebody that made you mad or done you wrong or something in your heart and you're having a tough time forgiving somebody? The Lord tell you, you're going to have a tough time answering that prayer. You want me to forgive you? And you got to remember the state that we're in. We're no better than anybody else in this room. I'm a sinner just like every one of us in this room. I have faults, shortcomings, just like everybody else in this room. I got to remember the state that I'm in. It's not to that day when till the Father comes and all my sins are completely forgiven and I walk through that heavenly door and He says, good and faithful servant, then I ain't got to worry about it anymore. Life's a struggle and it's going to continue to be a struggle. Not only is it a struggle for you, but it's a struggle for whoever you're having a struggle with forgiving. There's somebody that's having a tough time forgiving you. There's somebody in that boat and throughout your life that you offended and they're struggling to forgiving you. So that other person that you're facing and you struggle with and give that forgiveness, realize you're in the same boat. Because we're all lost. If it wasn't for Jesus, and we talked about that this morning, how Jesus knew that that final week was coming and then that if I don't do my Father's will, what state would this world be in? He realized, I have to do this. He said, my heart is struggling, knowing what I'm getting ready to go through, but what if I don't? Let me ask you that of you. That person that you're struggling with for forgiveness. If you don't forgive them, what state does that leave them in? What state does that leave you in? We need to realize and understand that with that gift of fruits that we're producing, that we're on this earth to do one thing and is produce spiritual fruit, and part of that is forgiveness. He wants us to remember that. Because you know why he told the disciples that then and there? Because he knew they were going to struggle, because at the end of the week, they're going to crucify their Savior. He's already telling them, forgive them. Christ did it on the cross and told the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the heart that we need to have. Because what was said earlier, it has to be repeated. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've got to remember where our heart is. And that's Matthew 5, verse 8. You know, we've been talking about it through this whole series. We've been talking about this. Jesus is the greatest love story. And it's all about you. Like I said a week prior to that, it's pretty cool that a love story is written about me. A whole book is written about a love story about me. But it's also written about you as well. The whole book was dedicated of a person, of a God that loved me so much. And we need to remember that. You know, Jesus has proven His love for us. Isn't it time we prove our love for Him? Isn't it time that we prove our love for Him? Because this love story of Christ, that He's done everything. And this week that we're studying now is preparing for Him to literally be abused and beaten and hung on a cross to die for us. Jerry said it so lovely a few Sundays ago about the Lord's Supper. when he was hanging on that cross, you personally was on his mind. Brian Kelly Bear, born in 1966, was on Christ Jesus' mind back then. He personally was on our mind. That's just incredible to think about. So this morning I want to ask you, as we take just a couple more minutes, your daily walk with God, what's it look like? Have you really thought about it, or are we kind of get into the, as we walk out the door, get in busy, and as I've talked about before, busy into our week? We got work, we got bills to pay, I got my grandkids to see this afternoon that I get to spend time with. Do we get busy in life and not producing spiritual fruit? That's the only purpose from this point on until that judgment day is to produce fruit. That's all a fig tree is designed to do, is to produce figs. As Christians, every day of our life, every aspect of our life is for the purpose of developing spiritual fruit. And remember this, as we talked about in class, it's not for ourselves. That spiritual fruit is designed for help others in need, to do for others in need. That fruit, an apple tree doesn't eat an apple. It's designed to feed and provide for God's creations on earth. And that's what you're designed for. You're designed to feed and provide the spiritual needs of those here on earth. And that was what we should be doing daily. 1 John 2, verse 6 tells us this. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the way that Jesus walked. You know, we studied this lesson. If I'm going to be abiding in Christ, I need to walk like Christ did. Oh man, there's some shoes to fill, ain't they? We're not going to be able to do it perfectly. You need to understand that, brothers and sisters. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to be like Peter, who starts walking on water and then starts looking around and seeing the seas and the waves hit his feet. And he's going to start sinking. We're going to sink in our lifetime. But our strive, our walk, our training, everything that we do should be more and more like how Christ walked. He demonstrated it throughout his whole life, taking care of others, providing for needs, physically, spiritually, mentally, raising the dead, as we talked about this morning. Anything and everything that he could do to help those who were around him, he did. And that should be our walk. Anything and everything that we can do to help those who are around us should be our walk. Don't get caught up in the day-to-day life where you're just getting by. That's hard. I'll tell you, it's easy to go to work, get tied up in everything in your opportunity, and miss those opportunities. Pure is the heart to see God. We kind of do our thing as we get through the week. Micah tells us this: what does the Lord require of you? And I'm still talking to you this morning. But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. To act justly. Do everything that's right. Love mercifully. And to humbly walk with God and realize where all this comes from. We need to be doing that on a daily basis. What was read earlier is that Wesley did a fine job this morning reading to you was from John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And that's eternal life. we walk with Jesus as he walked, and we strive to do his way, we'll always be in the light. And that's what we need to understand. We read this last Sunday, and I told you, you'll see it again. Galatians 5, verse 25 tells us this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's not talk it, but let's walk it. It's easy to say that we're Christians. You see, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Especially right now. All y'all going, yeah, he's a Christian, I'm a Christian too. But when we get out there, we should have the same enthusiasm, the same excitement, the same wanting to share it, just as much as we share it with our brothers and sisters in here. People should see, oh man, there's something different about him. Yeah, I got something you want. I got something you need. You may not take it and you may not be willing at this point, but I got what you need. I can save your life through my Father and through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the approach that we need to have. What's your daily walk look like? Do you really, really examine that? Don't get comfortable. You know, in Hebrews, it tells us that this is basically not our home. That we're only putting up a tent. We're only here temporarily. And when you go put up a tent somewhere, and when you're going to go somewhere and you're just staying there temporarily, you're usually there for a reason. It may be for vacation, and it may be for missionary work, it may be for anything, but you're there for a purpose. Don't settle in to this world. Don't make this world your home. Make it a tent. Make it that you're on a mission for God. Examine yourself daily. Ask yourself, am I doing your will today, Lord, not my will? It's hard during the week because we get busy and we do so much other stuff. Don't let us miss those opportunities. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but we said it over and over that a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we have wonderful elders here that will pray for you and the congregation that will pray for you. You may be struggling over the very thing that I'm talking about, that you're struggling, that daily walk. You need to understand we all go through that struggle. But prayers will help us through it. Because we can accomplish anything. If we pray to God and ask this morning to help you, what's going to happen? We're told it's going to happen. All we got to do is have faith and pray with the right heart. So anything you're going through, I guarantee you this congregation can make it happen. Because I know the brothers and sisters in this church. They're faithful brothers and sisters. You just watch the worship service we do, how the songs go together. How the prayer goes together and the Lord's Supper goes together. It's like we got together a week ahead of time and planned it all out. We didn't. God did. He puts the songs that need to be in place. He puts the words on our heart during prayer and the words for the Lord's Supper. Me and Wesley, we talk about it all the time, don't we, Wesley? How it all just falls into place. Like we send out notes to one another. Hey, this is what I'm preaching on. All right, this is the song's going to lean. None of that occurs. Because where two or three are gathered, he's there in the midst. So I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, no matter what you're going through, we can help you through it. Whatever struggles that you may have. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.